This is Focus West Michigan for Tuesday, March 24, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Monday, congressional Democrats took advantage of the Affordable Care Act's 16th anniversary. As WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, they're defending the ACA's benefits as Republicans continue efforts to repeal it.
We all know Affordable Care Act was transformative, even if though imperfect in many ways and that we're continuing to address.
That's U.S. Representative Rashida Tlaib of Detroit. She and U.S. Representative Hillary Scolten spoke on the 16th anniversary of the Affordable Care Act, highlighting its impact on Michigan families.
It meant that no one could be denied coverage for pre-existing conditions, that seniors would begin paying less for prescriptions, and that millions of Americans could start seeing a doctor without fearing they'd have to go into bankruptcy.
Approximately 23 million Americans are enrolled in ECA. That's down about a million beneficiaries who may have dropped their plans due to the ending of health insurance tax credits in 2025. The Grand Rapids Democrat says prior to ECA, medical debt was the leading cause of personal bankruptcy in the U.S. Now, she says, funding the war with Iran will lead to higher costs.
We're watching this administration pour billions of dollars into a war with Iran without congressional authorization. Just last week, the Pentagon requested an additional $200 billion. That's money leaving our country while families here at home are struggling to pay for basic health care, groceries, and gas.
I'm David Limbaugh.
Construction on Grand Rapids' Lower Grand River Habit Revitalization Project is moving forward. The final hurdle cleared on Monday with the approval of federal government river restoration funding. WGVU's Patrick Center has the details.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Natural Resources Conservation Service authorized more than $11 million from the Watershed Protection and Flood Prevention Program. All funding is now in place for restoring the rapids, improving aquatic habitat for native species like fish and mussels, and enhancing recreational use. The project is financed through a mix of state grants, city funds, and contributions from nonprofit group Grand Rapids Whitewater. Last month, Grand Rapids City Commissioners awarded a $14.5 million construction contract to Michigan-based environmental service contractor Taplin Group. Phase 1 on the lower reach focuses on the stretch between I-196 and Fulton Street, removing four dams and replacing them with natural rock features. Construction begins this spring and is expected to take 2 years to complete. Nearby Annaboen Park will be closed during construction, serving as the primary equipment staging area. A second phase involving the 6th Street Dam is currently under environmental review by the Great Lakes Fisheries Commission. It's determining sea lamprey management. I'm Patrick Center.
To honor Rosalind Bliss and thank her for her service as mayor and city commissioner, WGVU's Phil Dawson reports Grand Rapids is joining a group of private donors to create an outdoor classroom space in Riverside Park that will be called Mayor's Grove.
A private citizen group wanted to honor Mayor Bliss.
And after considering the options, City Acting Engineer Cindy Irving says the private group and the Parks and Recreation Department decided to develop a space in Riverside Park to honor the former mayor.
They selected this outdoor classroom and nature grove in Riverside Park and made a decision to name that Mayor's Grove.
Mayor's Grove will sit in a shady space near the Guild Street entrance where there's now a picnic area. It will include stone seating, a spiral sidewalk, native plants and trees, and plaques describing the various species and the history of the park.
An exciting project. Wonderful.
Rosalind Bliss was an elected Grand Rapids leader for 19 years, 10 as a second ward commissioner, 9 as the city's first female mayor. Because of term limits, she left office last year.
I just want to thank everyone who has supported me over the years, walked alongside me to solve problems.
The city and the private group will split the $300,000 project cost, and the donors also raised some extra money.
Raised some additional money, and they contributed that towards maintenance of the park.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Feeding America West Michigan officially cut the ribbon on its first ever fixed site food pantry in Kentwood on Tuesday. WGVU's David Limbaugh was there.
Feeding America West Michigan's Second Harvest food pantry has been serving nearly 300 households in Kentwood since it opened in January.
We identified a community nearby here to really be one that might need help with food, and that's certainly been validated in the first month or so that we've been operating.
That's CEO Ken Estelle. He explains Feeding America West Northwest Michigan's 2024 headquarters move from Comstock Park to Kentwood has benefited an area of Kent County where charitable food resources are lacking.
We have an obligation to really see what we can do to help. So that's why we initiated the search for a place and try to get a food pantry in this zip code that we knew was underserved.
Estelle says federal government changes to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP benefits, led to more families in need.
In addition to that, there's changes with Medicaid, which is also affecting costs. So when people look at what it takes to support basic needs, they look at things like health care, housing, and food tends to be the last thing on the list because it's typically the most discretionary.
Second Harvest Pantry serves all Michigan residents, and no identification or documentation is required to access its resources. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, an edited version of one of our new episodes of our Powerful Women Let's Talk podcast, but first, news from around the state. Some Michigan policymakers are advocating for tax reform as a way of lowering housing costs, but Colin Jackson reports not everyone is on the same page.
Michigan's Republican House Speaker is proposing rolling back property taxes in favor of raising taxes on some services. Despite discussing it in press conferences, he hasn't yet released specifics about how the plan would work. Meanwhile, Governor Gretchen Whitmer is proposing a 10% property tax cut for older adults. Whitmer says she hasn't seen enough details about the other plan to buy into it.
There will be conversations going on, but I put a plan on the table that actually gives seniors real property tax relief and confers additional tax benefits to people that are trying to get into the housing market.
For the Senate's part, it's looking at bills to expand access to the homestead property tax credit. I'm Colin Jackson in Grand Rapids.
The price of gasoline is edging closer to $4 a gallon in some parts of the state and over in others. That's according to a report from AAA of Michigan. We have more from Rick Pluta.
AAA says the average price across the state for a gallon of regular unleaded gas is $3.92. That's $1.07 more than this time last month. Part of this can be attributed to supply and demand. There are lower gas stockpiles as refineries are in the process of switching from the winter fuel blend to the summer blend. And Adrian Woodland of AAA says the war with Iran has dramatically driven up the cost of crude oil.
You add on the conflict and prices have just been going up.
The higher price of crude oil is also expected to have an impact on the costs of fertilizer, plastics, and other petrochemical products, which will be passed along to consumers. I'm Rick Pluta.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit wgvunews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. In an edited version of this episode of Powerful Women Let's Talk, Shelley Irwin is joined by Mari Sierra, third-generation owner of Navarro's Mexican Takeout, to talk about how she never expected to run the family business, challenges she's faced along the way, and more.
From WGVU Public Media, this is Powerful Women Let's Talk. Conversations with women making an impact in West Michigan. Stay connected to Powerful Women. Please like and subscribe.
This season on Powerful Women for Women's History Month, we're looking at women who made history in West Michigan and women who are making history right now. Today, we look at a woman who is making history. So hello to you, Mari Sierra. You're a big deal. Good that you are here. I wish you would have brought me a taste of your Navarro's Mexican Takeout and Catering because you're what, third-generation president?
Yes, third-generation owner.
Yes. Tell me a little bit about, first of all, becoming a third-generation owner of a family business. And I'll be blunt with my question. Was the role to lead in your family's company purposeful, or did you feel the DNA?
No, it was not purposeful. I was very resistant. It is no secret that I thought I was never going to come back to Muskegon. When I graduated from high school, I went to Aquinas. I left. I was working in corporate America, and I thought I was going to retire from my last big girl job. But my mom became ill with leukemia, and throughout her sickness, she continued the restaurant. And she passed away suddenly, and at the time, my one other sibling and I said, that's it. We loved having health insurance and a 401k. And I had two very small kids at the time. And I said, no. But my husband said, we have to try. So we are celebrating 5 years trying, and it's been a wonderful journey. Very unexpected, but I'm thankful.
A nearly 50-year-old family business. I know Mexican takeout in Muskegon Heights. You're, what, famous for your stone ground tamales?
That's right.
Yes. So your service in the community, will go back and forth a bit with your from your leadership to your community love. One of your big needs is serving as vice president of the Coalition for Community Development. What is this?
Coalition for Community Development, or more lovingly known as CCD, is a grassroots nonprofit organization started in Muskegon Heights. They came to me and it was an easy yes because their mission aligns with my personal values. They care about healthy food, about literacy. There is a special place in my heart for the babies. So I learned that because of CCD, there is a library program in Muskegon Heights School District. Without them and their volunteers, the library program would have disappeared many years ago. And I couldn't imagine a world where kids couldn't go to library during school. So it was an easy yes to join the board less than a year ago. But now here I am again, a little bit unexpectedly, serving as new vice president.
How easy is it to say yes to these challenges thus far in your life? Was this part of your DNA? Did you see that in your parents? Obviously, their hard work in the company, you wanting to continue that. Perhaps the love for food in the community. Do you remember, is it love doing by representation?
It is. So it actually started with my grandparents, Angel Luis and Connie Navarro. My grandmother was a powerhouse advocate for the Latino community in Muskegon. She founded, co-founded with my grandfather, a nonprofit called Latinos Working for the Future. In her advocacy, she created opportunities to support young kids, like the ones that I have a special place in my heart for, all the way up to seniors. So creating scholarship opportunities, a center for seniors to come together and spend time. And that's so important as we get into our older years in isolation. And so she created a space for them to be together. There's a festival still today celebrated in Muskegon from their nonprofit. So having her as an example has truly made it easy for me to say yes to a lot of these things because I grew up watching a powerful woman fight for the things that she thought were important.
What makes Muskegon, perhaps even Muskegon Heights, your business arena, challenging, thrilling, or surprising to put in your talents like you do?
Something that makes me very proud to be part of Muskegon Heights in particular is there is such a community pride. There's a long-standing history of Muskegon. And though I didn't go to school in Muskegon Heights, and I just grew up there as an extension of my family's business, I was welcomed back with open arms. We reopened the restaurant in February of 2021. February in Michigan is not very fun. It's was COVID times, still social distancing. And when we opened, we have a gate. So when we opened the gate that February 2021, there was people outside waiting in a line to say welcome home. And that is one of the most beautiful things. And I'm so happy to be a part of a community who just loves and takes care of one another.
As a woman business owner, what would be a challenge and or a surprise?
I think being underestimated frequently. I was lucky enough to have been courted by some developers in the downtown area saying, Mari, we love your food, we love your brand, but I just didn't feel like I was taken seriously. A lot of that I do think has to do with my age. I still consider myself a young woman, but on the other hand, I also think it's the simple fact of being a woman. I think if it would have been a man showing up to those meetings, I think they would have gone a little bit differently. But one of the things that I enjoy about being a woman business owner in Muskegon is that there are several of us and we take care of one another and support one another, whether that's recommending me for a catering or showing up when you're having a celebration at your business. I have not had the displeasure of meeting another woman business owner who's not rooting for me.
You say you are a big believer in community and legacy. Let's put the spotlight on the legacy.
For me, one of the amazing things is that when I introduce myself as the owner of Navarro's, people will stop and say, Connie Navarro, what was she to you? And I get to say, oh, that's my grandma. And people automatically love me because they loved her and they were touched by her in some way. For me, I feel an immense honor and responsibility to take care of that love that people are giving to me because of the legacy that she created.
We're asking generations of what you consider a powerful woman and how we can raise our youth to become such. But what do you consider the definition of a powerful woman?
One of the things that I admire most is someone who has the ability to make you feel like you are the most important person in the room. And I think that superpower goes with lifting others up, that woman recognizes that there is room at the table for all of us, that they are genuinely invested in your story and how they can learn about you to make connections down the line, that leadership is not a solo journey, that it's shared. And that is, I aspire to, because I can talk all day. I'm not very good at listening, Shelley. So that's something that I'm still learning, but I want to be able to make the path easier for someone behind me because I've learned a thing or two along the way.
Why keep women's history alive, Mari?
I think it's so important to know where we came from. And a very great example for me is my grandmother, Latina woman. She experienced racism, to speak very bluntly. She was a migrant worker. She retold a story of going into labor in Florida, and they didn't know which side of the hospital to put her with white women or black women, which resulted in a miscarriage for her. But I remember telling her a story where I was facing racial injustice, and she was so upset because she fought so hard so that I wouldn't have to experience the things that she experienced. And I fear that if we don't learn and listen to our older women and learn what their struggles were and what they fought for, those privileges that we have because of them may disappear. So I think it's so important to put ourselves on the back burner and take a moment to learn from our older women.
Mari Sierra, owner of Navarro's Mexican Takeout, please keep making history.
Thank you, Shelley.
Powerful Women Let's Talk is a production of WGVU Public Media. Episodes available at WGVUnews.org and on Apple and Spotify. Please like and subscribe.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Tuesday, March 24, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.